Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel this morning. Before we dive in to a whole host of issues and talk about a bunch of stuff that we haven't gotten to over the past week while we have been fund driving, we just want to take a moment and I will quickly set this up and then let Alan do the real thanking. But it was a week, and it was an incredible week, and we made it. And it's all done, and that's great, and we're very, very thankful, and it's good to be back to normal. How are you holding up there, buddy?
Well, okay. What you said, though, is really the point. You know, we have such a loving family. If I didn't hear the words family, you know, hundreds of times, I didn't hear it at all. And community kept coming up again and again, and best kept coming up and again and again. And people are so invested in it, and it is our pleasure to try to please them, because that's what it's all about. And by the way, Joe, congratulations to you and to Rosemary and Ray and Mike and the whole gang, because we kept hearing again and again and again about how people love this hour of roundtable, and of course about the rest of the roundtable too, and all your fine, incredible work. There's nobody better at this than you are, John.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity. It was great, and we love hearing it, and of course we love everybody. Well, you know, we were all worried about Alan this weekend, so. To hear that love and support, and again, that word community and family came in over and over again, and it was beautiful to hear. The one thing I have to say is that don't you feel a little bit like I've used this analogy before, but it feels a little bit like a pinata, because people say really, really nice things.
Yeah.
And then when it's over, then you start getting the normal email where people just hate you.
Yeah.
And then you just like get batted with the stick, and the candy comes out and it gets scattered all over the floor. And then 4 months later, they kind of put you back up, shove the candy back in, tell you how great you are. And then they start hitting you with the stick again.
You know the problem with, you know, what Rosemary.
It's more like a boil, really.
Lancet.
Yeah.
Another good.
Roselle always sees me as a CCC, a carping, complaining something. Or I don't remember what. But the fact of the matter is that there are just a few who listen. They gripe. They're unhappy. They find one thing or another. And, you know, we're talking about three or two that you get. And then, you know, they take it out on you, you know, at the end of the time. And,
right.
You know, they'll give you $100, but they want to take it out in trade.
Right. But it's their right. I mean, they can speak their mind, right?
It's all good. They take it out in trade. I like it. All right. Well, we have a lot to get to, a lot of issues that have been going on while we have been
fundraising. I've been dying to talk about something.
I know. Well, so let's begin with the obvious one and talk about it. We'll probably spend a few moments on it because it's important. And that is Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl, who has told medical officials that his captors locked him in a metal cage in total darkness for weeks at a time as punishment for trying to escape. And while military doctors say he now is physically able to travel, he is not yet emotionally ready for the pressures of reuniting with his family. According to American officials who have been briefed on his condition, Sergeant Bergdahl, who was released last Saturday, to American commandos in Afghanistan in exchange for five Taliban detainees held at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, remains in a military hospital in Germany without access to news media, and thus is oblivious to the raging criticism from some in Congress about the prisoner swap, and even from members of his former platoon who say he deserted them. Wow, what a story.
Big story.
So where do you stand on this?
Oh, he's looking at Rosemary.
Okay. Well, I've been waiting all week to find out what you were going to go.
We've been talking for a week. Now it's your turn.
Okay, here's my thing. I think the only person who came out looking good in this was the poor father, who was vilified by Fox as looking like a Muslim. And in fact, he was a grieving, thoughtful, kind of amazing man. everybody else looks bad in this. The platoon, which is a troubled platoon and is now saying, you know, rotten things about Bergdahl. The conservative members of Congress who are acting like this is an outrage. Obama made a bad deal when, in fact, they knew almost all the facts of this case long before. And then there's the Obama White House who knew the dangers but still took the cheap political trick, the way out, by calling the family to the White House and announcing this like it was big, joyous, unadulterated good when it had problems all along. They asked for the trouble that they got. It should have just been handled differently.
Yeah. You know, there's one other thing that I'm not sure I agree with you about the last part about the Obama thing, but there's one other thing, and that is that I think we've wanted to clear out, Guantanamo.
Have no problem getting rid of those
for
guys.
For a long time.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And
right.
If you can't bring them here, nobody will allow them to come here, even in a maximum lock them up in a steel cell security place. Nobody wants them here. No other country wants them. This is an opportunity.
The deal was to put them, actually, what was worked down in Qatar, the country of Qatar helped with the deal, was to have them held under surveillance for at least 1 year. They're not getting out of jail. They're not on the loose, as conservatives would have you think, but they're not in Guantanamo, where they should never have been.
What about the politics of this? And really, we've heard it now from both sides of the aisle that, hey, the president is supposed to let Congress know 30 days notice before any deal of this sort goes through. Now, is this, as some on both sides would say, another example of an imperial presidency? Or is there any fiber to those allegations?
And before you answer, let me just throw in that the company line here, the Obama line, was that they were worried about the safety of the prisoner.
Okay.
And line, I think, is the operative part.
Okay. I just wanted to set that up. That was
Obama does this all the time. He just shot himself in the foot. Under what circumstances could you possibly not tell Dianne Feinstein, who's a powerful member of the Senate, and your ally? You don't say, Dianne, hey, we're going to do this. That would have covered him. He didn't do it. He annoyed her mightily for the second time. The other was with the CIA interfering in the 9/11 examination. So, no, I think this was, if not Obama himself, you know, you always defend him, Alan, certainly people in his White House did not serve him well in the way this was handled. Appalling. Just appalling.
Well, you made that point. It's come around for the third time.
And only the second time I count. No,
and what's your take? What's your take, Alan?
What?
Will you defend that?
Let me just pick up, because you had said you questioned Rosemary on the Obama part, and so let's talk about that. Let's focus in about how this was presented by the Obama administration.
Look, we all know what's going on here. If the Republicans, if Obama says red, the Republicans say blue. Excuse me? What is your face telling you? No.
You
almost jumped out of your chair.
Well, hello.
Just now,
the
Ray.
Democrats are also, many, including, the senator from California, are also saying the same thing.
No. I'm just simply telling you. You know, you take something like Benghazi. You take something like the prisoner swap. You take the first thing. They are never. When is the last time? Now, by the way, John McCain has stood up a couple of times and done the right thing here, and been supportive because he's able to walk across the line. So Raymond, it is to me, it is so clear that every time Obama does anything, they're going to try to kill him, and it's that simple.
And he doesn't have people who realize that, who take steps to prevent that.
Because
make them look silly.
Because, Rosemary, no matter what they did, if they brought the grieving family to the White House, people would say, cheap shot. If he didn't bring the family to the White House, people would say, he should have brought the family to the White House. Now, you know that, and I know that.
I think there's some simple public relations going on here that was not followed in the White House. Take one look at that father, who is, by all accounts, just an extraordinary man, very thoughtful and deep. And grieving and loving, but putting him in front of a camera opened him up to O'Reilly, and you know it just by looking at him. I'm sorry, you do. You handle it in a different way.
But look at who you're talking about. You're talking about that stinking O'Reilly. You know what in the world would make you think that he would give you an even break in every case? You don't bring the father. He would have been the first one to yell. You should have brought the father.
Well, I don't like O'Reilly. I don't like any of that ilk. But it is a fact of political life in this country, and the Fox and conservative point of view is shared by many. If you're the president of all and you're the president who has to control public thought, you want to kind of frame it your way, you handle it better than it was handled this time.
Well, I don't agree with you.
I have to, there's
a surprise.
I have to go with Alan on this because
thank you, Joe, in the sense that you've always been a friend.
Thank you. sorry, Rosemary. I don't see your name at the bottom of my paycheck. I agree with the part that there's no way that you could do this and not go to the ridicule of the O'Reillys of the world, right? I mean, other than not doing it.
I actually am floored that we have negotiated to bring back one of our own, and that has been painted in a bad way. To me, it is very similar to John Kerry, a hero, a total hero in the war, being humiliated by George W. Bush, who was, who escaped service in Vietnam. And this is the same thing. It is manipulation. And I'm just saying the Democratic Party as a whole, not just the White House, needs to just get really better at playing this game. Why are we still dealing
with
it?
Why do it on a weekend? Why not do it during the week? That was another question as to doing it on the weekend as to, apparently a lot of these pieces were in place earlier where it could have either been done earlier in the week or wait after the weekend. It was done over the weekend. So that gives an idea that it's not going to maximize the coverage as much.
There are those who know, Joe, that when you do something on a Sunday night or you do something on the weekend, you do get maximum coverage when you think about it.
It's Friday night and Saturday.
Because there's nothing else going on.
Well, it's Saturday afternoon, right?
Saturday afternoon when there's like skeletal staffs.
And then it becomes the story.
Yeah. The Taliban had footage of the exchange.
Yes.
And that was used to make it look like, he's chummy with them. And this was a deal. The Taliban was in control. Also, just, wow.
Well, and also you're talking about the skeletal staffs, but it didn't take long. Actually, let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about more, because I want to get into this. I also want to get into the links between, because the case that many in the conservatives and Republican sides are making is linking this to Benghazi, and I want to talk about that a little bit and also bring in Hillary Clinton into this as well. So let's take a break. We'll continue our conversation right after this.
Support for WAMC comes from the Blue Marble, a world of gifts, Amherst, Massachusetts, featuring handcrafted jewelry from around the world, thebluemarble.biz. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974. PreserveNYS.org. And Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts, their 60th season, opening July 2nd with June Moon, directed by Jessica Stone, on the main stage. Box office now open, WTFestival.org.
Good morning and welcome back to the roundtable. Just because there's a break doesn't mean we don't keep on
the
conversation going.
The argument has been going on nonstop.
Spirited discussion,
right.
Not
That's
argument.
Right. Spirited okay.
Spin
discussion.
Spin it any way you want. The spin stops here.
There are those people who have their sides they choose up. Jeff Wimmer let us know. He said, Rosemary, in quotes, in capital letters, is really making sense this morning. And 3 exclamation points.
Thank you.
Must have been surprised.
Doesn't get any better than that. Great work, he says.
Thank you. I like him.
That's it?
Me, not so much.
he's been up late for a week now, so I have advantage.
That's it so far.
Okay.
So let's talk about. There's a lot of different things we've been talking about. The case of Sergeant Bowie Bergdahl, who
doesn't want to be called Sergeant, by the way. It's an interesting part of that story.
How do we know that?
He's telling the hospital. There were basically automatic promotions while he's been in captivity.
He was
private first class, I think, and then he became a sergeant, and he's rejecting that when the hospital staff calls him sergeant.
I really would like to hear. I will be interested to hear what has happened to him in captivity. It sounds horrific. He sounds very messed up and confused and damaged. That's a shame.
So there was a... We were talking during the break. One of the things that came up was the resignation of White House spokesman Jay Carney that was done just right on the heels of this remark. He has not left the post yet, but he was on a few days later on with Anderson Cooper and had an exchange with Anderson Cooper that was quite testy. Also, I'll put it that way. And the argument the question that Anderson Cooper kept on saying is, let me know how can it still be said that the United States does not negotiate with terrorists, and that was the question.
Well, in the Hillary book.
Which comes out today, Hard Choices.
And in the conversations which Hillary has had with reporters, obviously.
Including NPR this morning.
Yeah, NPR, hyping the book. I'm quite sure I heard her say we were trying to get Pakistan to negotiate with Afghanistan to negotiate with the Taliban. Now, so don't give me, that the Taliban is outside the purview of our politics. They're not.
I'm
Does
not
that look confused.
I think that was confusing.
Yes.
I'm sorry. The problem is in the rhetoric that we don't want to say the White House does not want to say we negotiate with terrorists because that leads you. You know, O'Reilly will go nuts.
Yeah.
But the truth is, Obama has always negotiated. He has always been open to talks. He's always campaigned on talking to everybody. That's a good thing. I think that's one of the reasons some of us voted for him.
Yeah. Well, I hope that Jeff.Wimmer now heard that you say that because he may not be so lying.
He may take away an exclamation point.
Very nice.
One of the things that Anderson Cooper was asking Jay Carney was that, and this gets into your public relations point a little bit, of were you aware that Bergdahl's father would speak Arabic and Pashto in his remarks? And Carney came kind of unglued and said, not unglued, but just very flustered. And I don't know what to make of that. And I don't know. And finally ended up saying, I think that's entirely beside the point.
Yeah. I mean, that just makes him look bad.
I see it a little differently. I'm not nearly as concerned about his testiness with Anderson Cooper or the rest of it. I just think if you want somebody to represent the White House, you have to find somebody who sounds like an adult. And by the way, a lot of them are guilty of this.
Obviously, you mean Carney doesn't
Carney
sound like an adult to you.
Yeah, sounds like a...
Not the father.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's right. And so I'm concerned that, they don't know that, but clearly they think they know something. Yeah, Ray?
Oh, just pointing at the clock.
Oh, you're pointing at the clock?
Yeah.
Yes, he was just pointing at the clock. He wants us to take a
40
break,
years
we
on
probably
the floor.
Should. And we will. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about this and many other issues that are before us. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let the mailbag begin to be filled again after we return from our fun drive slumber.
Time for the hate mail, people.
Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back with the panel after this short break on the Roundtable on WAMC, Northeast Public Radio. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Oh, we just missed the vocal.
is that the one about the roller skate?
No, that Melanie, I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
I think
that was Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, actually.
Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues.
Oh, my God.
I like the roller skate song.
Yeah, you like that?
Yeah.
I wanted to sing
That's
it for us.
That's the last song I heard on the radio. Yeah.
Back in 1972.
Was it that late?
Yeah.
Yes. That was late for you. That was good.
Did Seeger ever cover that one?
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. It's a delight to have you back. We have a lot more to discuss, but we always welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan, what do we got?
Okay, I made the mistake of talking about Jeff W. Wimmer and his talk about you, which is, you know, it was
Rosemary,
great.
That is? Rosemary.
I enjoyed said, that talk.
And then, so, right, right. So then, so now he's back. He says, no, I'm still on board with Rosemary, but just on this issue.
Ah.
I think oftentimes Obama's his own worst enemy. He truly does shoot himself in the foot. And please don't think that in any way I'm offended by you guys joking about me. Just fine, as long as you don't put words in my mouth. For record, I used to be a Democrat liberal until I became a business person. I interned with Saul Weprin in the State Assembly. I am socially as far to the left as one can get, but fiscally conservative. Okay, that explains that.
Sounds good.
And then also, George said, didn't Ronald Reagan negotiate with terrorists? 1,500 missiles for the release of Americans? Heck, this country started negotiating with terrorists when we gave money to the Barbary Pirates to stop attacking our ships in the Thomas Jefferson administration. That was from George.
Good letter.
What'd you say?
Good letter.
Yeah. That was good. And then Tom says, as you blame Hillary and the president for Benghazi and the VA issues, just remember the Republican Congress cut the budgets for both. Yes, that's true. Okay, and I have a lot more to say on that, but, well, you know, that's them. That's George.
Cutting the budget does not call for things that happened in either Benghazi
or the Veterans Administration
hospitals.
Yeah. But this whole business of, you know, of all of the negotiating that's gone on between the others, all of the wonderful American folks, diplomats and everybody who died in virtually every administration, including, you know, most of the Republican administrations, including numbers and numbers and numbers of people. You know, the idea that that what they're doing, what the Republicans do, is they take on, you know, the old propagandistic idea of just repeating and Goebbels repeating it till it's coming out of people's ears. That's what they do.
Well, you made a good point, Ray, during the break about how
You weren't listening to the voices in your head, but I had a good conversation.
He's listening to the voices in his head.
Okay, wow. We're not going to have the full attention after the fun drive for many days. I can see this.
Go ahead.
All right, here, let's try to get back on track here. Ray talked, and you should bring the dog. Let me put words in your mouth how we yell about negotiating with
terrorists.
But these are enemy combatants.
We've been fighting a war against them for a long time.
Right.
And so my point was, there are often prisoner swaps, you know, in wars. Couldn't he have just said, the president, that is, we were negotiating with our enemy in this war. The war is winding down. Wouldn't that be a simple way to do it?
No.
Yes.
No, enemy combatants.
No, the reason not is that what you want to do, I just got through telling you folks that Hillary was talking about how these other negotiations going on with the Taliban and everything else. You know, there comes a point at which we have to come together. And there are openings to do that. The other thing is, we want to close Guantanamo. We want to get out of there. You know, this made all kinds of sense the way that I see it. Or you could have brought them back here and tried them, but I don't know that. I don't think they wanted to do that either.
I read some silliness in the New York Times today from Democrats saying, well, talking with the Taliban is not the same as talking to Al-Qaeda, that we have talked to them in the past and that doesn't violate any rules. I think the quibbling is ridiculous.
Exactly.
And we should just say, we're going to talk to anybody who wants to talk to us. That doesn't mean we're making a deal. It doesn't mean we're getting into bed with them. We're talking with them. It's called communication.
Yeah.
Kind of a good idea in foreign relations.
Yeah.
Do you think that, and just getting back to Bergdahl before we move off this, but do you think that the administration was caught off guard and did not fully know the background of what the backlash was going to be from the fellow members of the platoon as to also of that the history of that platoon, as you said,
yes,
troubled, and B, of his personal history or just the idea of leaving someone behind?
Yeah, I think that they knew. I don't think it was like they didn't didn't know that he had probably walked off, that there were issues with the platoon. I think they grossly underestimated how that would be used against them, that instead we would just go to that old, D-Day, World War II idea that, like, wow, bring all our men home. I remember when I first heard it, I said, why was he the only POW? There's something wrong there. You don't lose just one man when you have an operation that big. Something
well, the Israelis
had to be
have.
Out of,
the Israelis have and others have.
Well, the kidnapping yes. of that yes. guy, right? You're
yeah,
right.
No, they
and
have.
They negotiate it, by the way, with that. With, they
oh, the Israelis. Yeah. The Israelis are famous for,
of course.
For putting 300 people for one, 200 people for one in order to say,
to get their every man back.
Yes.
And so that's it. I think that the Obama administration really thought that they would be praised for that camaraderie that, we protect our own. We'll sort out later what he did.
Sure.
And that was an error. That was a gross error when they're facing the sort of criticism they do from conservatives.
Well, see, you either have to do what's right or you have to do what's political. You're arguing both ways now. You're
no,
arguing
I'm not.
Whether it's political.
The political thing was trying to make a big celebration of it. He should have just kept it really low-key, left that family at home, had a celebration in that hometown. He humiliated that hometown. They canceled the whole celebration for Bergdahl coming home. Sure. It's embarrassment.
No, but when I say you're either doing a political analysis or, you're doing a what's right analysis. What's right is he brought the guy home. The political analysis is you think he handled it the wrong way.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Okay, good summary.
Thank you.
So let us go on to other problems, and that is there was an audit that was released yesterday. More than 57,000 patients have been waiting more than 3 months for medical appointments at hospitals and clinics run by the Department of Veteran Affairs, and nearly 64,000 others have been enrolled in the system for a decade but still have not been seen by doctors despite their request, according to a nationwide audit released yesterday. The audit of 731 facilities, including all of the department's 150 medical centers, provided for the first time a sense of the scope of the widening scandal over delays in care within the sprawling healthcare system for veterans.
The most interesting part of the audit to me came in the analysis that in 2011 they put in a new rule, so it's squarely in Obama's court,
yes.
I believe, that they would have a 14-day target. Everybody who wanted to get in would get in within 14 days, and bonuses for employees would be pegged to meeting that goal. Hence, you see all of the faking, the cover-up, the falsification. It's so squirrely. And again, I repeated, the guy who was head of VA needed to go. This report, the audit calls for making it easier to fire regional and local heads of the VA for doing this sort of thing. You have to hold people accountable.
So how deep does the falsification go? According to this article, this is from the New York Times, the audit also underscored the extreme pressures on staff members at some facilities to falsify data.
Right.
At 24 locations, employees told the auditors that, quote, they felt threatened or coerced to enter dates that were not appropriate. Workers at 14 facilities reported that they had been sanctioned or punished over scheduling practices.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell this one came right from the top. The big boss and the bosses
right.
under it all pressured people to say, we're going to make it look like everybody's getting in 2 weeks. And in fact, if you look at it, in Hawaii, it would take 145 days to get into a facility.
It's crazy.
It's appalling.
We call up. I was thinking about this morning. We call up. We're hurting. We call up when we expect to be seen that day. Or the next day. And so when you're talking about 45 days, it's incredible.
145
yeah.
in Hawaii.
It's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to dilute this or to lessen this in any way, but it reminds me a bit of the same kind of thing of, okay, there's an incident on a plane where the plane doesn't take off, and then there's a whole passenger bill of rights, and then they say, okay, so now we're going to say that we're going to leave within however many how much time we're going to leave the gate, and now what they do is they get you on the plane, and they pull it out, and then you just stay on the tarmac for 2 hours.
Rule that.
I mean,
because
it's a rule. It's a rule,
rule,
but there's
a
way of getting
thing.
Around the rule, So you make the rule and you say, okay, there's 14 days. We're going to tie incentives to it, not thinking it completely through of how people are going to be able to get around the rule. Which the way to get around the rule is, okay, well, here I'll put in this form and tell you we've got all these people and this is what we've done.
Yeah. You make great sense, but I have to say,
you make great sense. But
what?
No. The but is ancillary.
Okay.
but this comes down to money. Let's face it.
Oh, sure.
If you have enough money, you can do it one way or another. If you can't see him the same day or 2 days later, send them to a private facility and pay right. for yeah. it.
Which is what the audit which called the, for.
Which yeah. is what they're talking about now. Now, I want to know, will those who do not want to see, who think this is another potential trap for the president, will they say, okay, you know, that's right, these are our veterans and it's the right thing to do, and let's come up with an emergency appropriation for the Veterans Administration? Or will they say, you have to cut the vegetables for the poor in order to do that?
This to me really does seem a money matter. In fact, one of the problems with this whole cover-up is that it also covered up a great need. We need more money. We had the Vietnam vets are aging. You have a whole bunch of new vets because we're starting new wars. So the VA is taxed. That's why they can't really get everybody in 14 days. That means you need more money if you're going to say, as Americans do, we take care of our vets. We don't, obviously. This audit shows that.
And they are going to find somebody to make an example of them and maybe even put them in jail. For having falsified some of these reports. Somebody's going to take the pipe.
Well, somebody did, didn't they? There have been firings.
I mean, there have been firings, but
it would appear that the mismanagement is pretty deep. The mismanagement in the system right. would appear to be fairly deep. So the question is, as Rosemary said, and there's no arguing it, more money would help the situation. But as in a situation where a state throws a lot of money at education and test scores don't go up, how much of this is money and how much of this is just a bizarrely horrible management system?
Well, a bizarrely horrible management system, and to pick up on what Rosemary said, you have a system that has been broken for a long, long time, and then you take this bizarre thing and try to change an aspect of a broken system, but all of those other aspects are going to
right.
are going to affect it. As you say, this rule falls squarely in the Obama administration.
Yeah.
However, the problems with the VA go back for decades. So it is an interesting thing of okay, we're going to change something. We're going to change it, but we're not going to look at the whole problem. And as a result, you screw everything up. More.
Yeah, it reminds me when systemic change is just difficult. Everyone agrees the tax code is a mess. Yet to tackle it. Set up another one.
Don't take my benefit for tobacco away.
Yeah, yeah.
Tobacco.
I have optimism that in this case, and I've often complained about the fact that anytime something like this comes up, it's a political football and it's pointing fingers, and ultimately nobody gets helped. I have optimism that in this case they will overhaul this system and veterans will get better, better treatment. I don't know why I'm optimistic about this, but I think it's so bad right now that they realize they have to do something rather than point fingers, which they'll do anyway. There's plenty of time for that.
Like healthcare, yeah, we realized that was bad and we did something.
Well, they did something. We'll see if it's any better. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will wrap up our conversation for this Tuesday morning. We welcome your comments, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Smith College Museum of Art, presenting Second Friday, featuring hands-on and a gallery talk at 6 with Ann Whiston Spurn, June 13th from 4 to 8 p.m., smith.edu/artmuseum. And Mannix Marketing, Glens Falls, New York, since 1996, a web design and internet marketing firm working to help businesses get found on the internet. Mannixmarketing.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable. We have a few minutes left. I don't know. Do we have any? Do you have any letters there, Alan?
I gotta see that. Hold on.
Okay, I think we're caught up, but I'm not positive.
Yeah.
Your device may vary from mine.
I I love that humming in the background.
Good use of radio time. There doesn't seem to be anything. Thank you.
It's like the old ticker tape that they put on the news stations. Ten wins. Yeah, it's the same thing. Okay, so let's go to the
hump.
Let's go to the hop.
Wow, Danny and the Juniors reference. Yeah, very you don't hear that often on the round table.
Not nearly enough.
No.
Do you want to talk about the Las Vegas shooting or the Hillary Clinton book?
Las Vegas shooting.
Okay. Sorry, Rosemary spoke first. Okay. So the issue here, of course, is...
two crazies walk into a place and kill two cops.
And express anti-government views and prepared for a lengthy gun battle, and there you go.
And, and leave a swastika behind.
Yeah, more trouble from the Second Amendment. This is the kind of group that, there's a new book out on the history of the Second Amendment. Really fascinating.
He's going to be on... He was on Morning Edition this morning. He's going to be on... at 11:30 this morning.
I will listen to that. Very interesting.
Well, cool. I'm glad. Yeah, that's
I will
good.
Listen to that.
That I'll listen to.
Hey, Joe, have you made the ask for Hillary yet?
We were told no, probably not.
Made the ask.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, back to the Second Amendment and the crazies on the loose. They feel protected by the Constitution in the same way that journalists feel protected by the Constitution, and they're running around killing policemen. The two people killed were both cops. The third man was someone who was trying to stop them as they were shooting in a Walmart. And this, the article the New York Times, or I'm sorry, the Washington Post pointed out that this is about the third targeted killing of cops in the country in a very recent time.
This is not good news.
And
people kill themselves. And that is what's most disturbing about this whole thing.
Like suicide killings.
Yeah, there's no way to stop it. There's no way to stop somebody. As long as you're not going to control the gun supply, there is no way to stop people who are determined to kill themselves. Now, interestingly, one of them turned around and killed the other one rather than each of them.
The wife killed the husband.
Yeah, killing themselves because maybe one of them was a suspect of not having the ability to go through with it.
Right, right.
I was struck by a couple of things. One of them was, just on the periphery and just very superficially, but not a great weekend for Walmart.
Wow, that's true. The truck accident with Tracy Morgan,
which injured him, was arrested and in jail.
The driver said he had not slept in more than 24 hours. And Walmart acted really nobly in this. They said, "We're sorry, we regret to hear he was involved, and we will do the right thing."
And then, 5 hours after that, this happens.
Shooting in Walmart
is all over the back.
Good point.
Keeping a truck driver on the road after he hasn't slept for 24 hours, one could make an argument about that.
We don't know whether he did this on his own or if he was required.
But, somebody walks into a Walmart or into any place and does something really stupid or bad, you can't really control for that.
So the other point I wanted to make is that it seems that in the days that have followed, we're here, it is Tuesday, this happened on Sunday, there is a lot of talk about how this doesn't ultimately fit the pattern of mass shootings that we see in the country because of the planning and even of the age, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different than sort of the typical script that has been written.
It's kind of spooky to me because it's an anti-government movement, and it's these people have been linked, although I guess not conclusively proven to have been part of that ranch protest.
And allegedly kicked out by them.
Right. Yeah, they're too crazy for the other anti-government people. So what's going on? What's going on in this country?
Well, this is a mental health problem of the first order. There's no two ways about it. What do you do? Your loved ones are taken out by these guys and these people, and it's the most frustrating thing in the world. We all have children. We all know what this is about, and it's a terrible ordeal for anybody to contemplate. I don't know what you do with them. How do you find out in advance that they have it within them to do this kind of thing? Now, if they kicked them out, if the other guys kicked them out of there must have been some reason they got kicked out. It might have sounded, that they had to do something, but it's just so frustrating.
There were FBI officials speaking on Sunday night about this, and they said that, how this was a bit of an anomaly is that in 98 to almost 99% of the shootings that we have seen in this country, they're done by sole gunmen.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you have two, Columbine obviously being the mm-hmm. other, you know, big example of the other anomaly, when you have two acting together,
this is sort of a Bonnie and Clyde thing. She apparently was she's much younger than her husband and was very subservient to him. So I'm not exact. I don't think that this was exactly like two people operating in cahoots.
Right.
She was his extension.
Right. We are just about out of time. Any final comments anybody would like to make in the minute that we have left?
Well, I just want to, once again, just thank everybody for being so fantastic during the fun drive and for creating this community that we have here.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, and thanks to you, Alan, and thanks to everybody. It's been a wonderful couple days, so but it's good to be back to normal. Rosemary, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And then you're off.
Summer work.
Oh,
okay.
Boy.
Oh, boy. Right. People will be accusing us. They'll say, yeah. What'd you do to Rosemary?
Muzzle Rosemary again. And
yeah. Right.
So we'll have a
so I'll talk a lot tomorrow. Yes, yeah, I'll talk a lot absolutely. Tomorrow to build up for the summer, build up all a right. reserve.
thank you very much. We'll continue with the roundtable after this short break.